Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is the Gospel reading from Mark chapter 6, Jesus going to his hometown. Now, if you're not originally from Champaign or Urbana, you might make many trips home. In fact, this is one of those weekends where people like to go home to their hometowns for 4th of July celebrations and maybe to get away from rain here, as ours is postponed really until tonight, I understand. Well, it's good to see people when you get home. And in June, I was able to go back to my first congregation in Nebraska, a rural congregation, for their anniversary. And many people came home to that little rural church because not only was it an anniversary of the church, but they also had a confirmation reunion, and they read the lists of the people who were confirmed for the last 40 years, and many of them showed up there to see each other and greet each other again. And I had great memories of my early years in the ministry there among them and saw a lot of friendly faces. But I remember when I was younger and right in college there, I'd go home for family gatherings, and I remember I have three older brothers, and it was a little uncomfortable because sometimes they treated me like I was still 14, you know. Like, Jimmy, what are you going to do now? You know, and here I was a grown-up man, and my family couldn't get used to me being adult. I think perhaps maybe Jesus might have felt that way when he returned to Nazareth, when he went back home and preached there. I preached in my home congregation in Michigan, and I remember the first time, it was a little hard for people to imagine me all grown up and giving a sermon there in the place where nobody wanted to teach Sunday school when I was a student, you know. They'd teach Sunday school for like 20 years, and then the year before I was going to get in their class, they'd retire. It happened more than once. Such was my reputation, but there I was, their preacher now. Now, when Jesus came to Nazareth, they said many things when he was preaching. They said, "Where did this man get all these ideas? Who gave him all this wisdom? Can he really do these miracles that we heard about? After all, we know his family, we know his mom, we know his brothers, and we know his sisters. There can't be really anything special about him. He grew up here." We call such an attitude stubbornness. And that stubbornness means that you have a fixed or set position or opinion, and you are resolute, even when evidence is given to you of the contrary, you still hold that position. That's stubbornness. When somebody shows you the reason for a certain course of action, and you refuse to follow it or allow it to happen, that's stubbornness. And so Jesus is truly a prophet without honor, except in his hometown, among his relatives, especially there, and in his own household. I think that's why God moves ministers around once in a while. He helps us to realize that the ministers are sent by God with a message from him. And the message is not the minister's message. And you may get to know the minister very well, but the minister must speak God's word, not his own opinion. And yes, we are his prophets, not that we foretell the future like they did in the Old Testament, but rather foretelling the truth that God has revealed in his Holy Word. The interesting thing is that Jesus, there in Nazareth, it says, could do no miracles there except healing a few people. Now, we might get the wrong idea about Jesus' identity if we just take it the way Mark says and don't understand it from the rest of Mark's gospel or from the rest of the Bible. We might think that, oh, well, Jesus didn't have the power to do miracles, or somehow he lost some of his divinity or something there. Or maybe he wasn't fully God, he only got the power from God the Father. But this incident is not because he got his strength from God and not being God himself, nor is it because that he somehow got his energy from the people who gathered. If they believed, then he could do the miracle. No, Jesus, as the scriptures tell us, is and remains God. He is all power, he just doesn't always use it in his human nature. And it is, I believe, he was unwilling to do miracles there because the miracles themselves would do no good. The people, no matter what he did, couldn't get beyond his identity when he grew up as being just one of them. They could not see him, even for what the miracles pointed him out to be, the Son of God, God himself. And they could not overcome their own stubbornness. Ezekiel spoke of the same problem. God said to him, I am sending you as a prophet to the nation of Israel, a nation of rebels, and their descendants are impudent and stubborn, said the Lord. And Ezekiel's commission was, no matter what the people said, or whatever attitude they had, as a prophet, he was always to say, thus says the Lord. In other words, this is what God says, listen to this, and believe it. That's the work of a prophet. And God said, whether they hear you or not, you just keep on preaching. Well, what about us? When God sends preachers to us, what's our response? Are we receptive listeners to God's word? Does the word of God transform our lives? Oh, it has the power, but do we allow it to do that? Or do we have stubborn roadblocks in our lives? Do we long to hear his word? Or does it come in one ear and go out the other? Are there things that have been preached from the word of God that you just aren't going to put into practice in your life? That's just too much God would ask of you. It could be in our dealings with relationships with other people that we just are not going to let God's word change that or resolve that, or our business dealings, or our patience with others, or our hidden sins. This is just the result of spiritual stubbornness, and we all have it to some degree. When we, like the people in Nazareth, just really don't accept Jesus for who he is. For if we did, and we saw him as God and Lord and our Creator and Redeemer, our Liberator from sin and death, and if we really could grasp all that he has done for us and released us from, why, certainly we would do anything he asked. Anything. Jesus' disciples are like that. Think of Peter. Remember how stubborn he was? And how he would say one thing and then do another right away? He's stubborn, and yet he becomes more or less chief of the apostles. And that's because God loves him and forgives him, no matter how many times Peter falters. And that goes for the rest of the disciples as well. And it goes for us, his modern-day disciples. For stubborn, stiff-necked people, Jesus lived a perfect life. He was obedient and suffered, died, and rose again. For stubborn, stiff-necked people, he caused the scriptures to be written. For stubborn people, he preserved that right teaching among us on earth from the times of the apostles until now. For stubborn people, his word gathers people together in congregations like St. John and brings people together to hear his word. For stubborn people, he comforts the terrified. For stubborn people, he binds up the brokenhearted. For stubborn people, he forgives sins and he comforts us in all our troubles. And he points ahead to a future home, absent of sin and disease and hardship and conflict, where we serve God with a joyous heart and without a burden. All of this for stubborn people like us. You might say Jesus himself was a kind of stubborn man, not in a sinful way that we are to God when we just don't want to follow him for some reason. But when Jesus set his face, the Bible says, like flint, like a hard stone, he set it towards Jerusalem. And nothing was going to thwart him. No danger, no harm, no worry was going to keep him from his mission of offering up his perfect life for the sins of the world, for you and me. He was determined, and nothing could deter him. And all of this for us, so that by the Spirit's working in us, we might let go of our stubbornness, our hardness towards God, and our hearts might be open to his word and to following him, and strengthened so that we can hold on to that word with all tenacity and not let go of the truth. Adherence to God's word with always the seasoning of mercy and love for those that God puts us in service to in this world. And that's the people you see around you today, sitting next to you, across from you, ahead of you, across the aisle. We serve God as we serve one another, and the people you see as you leave this building today. This is God's calling for all of us, one and all, for we are his disciples. If we're going to be stubborn at anything, let's be stubborn about that. Holding on to God's word, treasuring it in our hearts, and finding ways that God leads us to serve one another. In his name, and with his blessing, amen. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding strengthen you in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.